during the meet and greet, I walked up to Ann and I said, "I like you." And she said, "Well, if you like me, you'd give me all of your verses." And I said, "I did. I'm going to stay right in the text, hopefully. I'm not planning on not going outside of the text." So we find ourselves at the end of the second woe. The third woe will begin. So you remember that there was an eagle flying overhead. I think he flew for the first time. You guys were still here your last Sunday. And he said, "Woe, woe, woe." So the third woe is about to start, but it's a little different. And these three sets of judgments, these three sets of seven judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments are kind of telescoped together. So the seventh seal in the opening frame of Revelation 8 was really just the revealing of the seven trumpets. And so it is true here also. The seventh trumpet, when it finally sounds, is really just an introduction to the seven bowl judgments. And this particular passage that we begin with, chapter 11, verse 15, runs all the way out to the end of chapter 14. And the action for the first bowl judgment does not ensue until the 16th chapter, where all seven bowl judgments are announced and leads up to the Battle of Armageddon. And we'll go on from there. But so this is just preparatory. This is just data that builds the environment for the bowl judgments that we're about to look at. So we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged.'" So there's, "and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." So this magnificent praise breaks out. The 24 elders, all the angels, all of the beings that are in heaven are worshiping. And it's that favorite, that familiar scene that we saw last in chapter 5, the scene in heaven. "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail." And this is called the storm theophany, where you see God in the storm. So you know it's God's presence, because every time he's there, this is what happens. Verse 1, chapter 12. "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." So because it's said that there's a great sign appearing in heaven, we know that this woman here is symbolic. It's not pointing at then an actual woman. It's really the Israel. She's clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. So this recalls the imagery where Joseph is having a dream back in Genesis chapter 39, and he's telling his brothers about the dream that he's got, about the stars and et cetera. So that in this particular passage, the sun, it represents Jacob. And it says that there's moon under the feet. I'm going to begin this passage again. "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, So Rachel is the moon under her feet, and Jacob is the sun, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So what happens here is this vision is going forward all the way to heaven after the ascension of Jesus to heaven. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. So this vision, this visionary view passes over the events of Christ's life, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and goes right to the ascension. And so in this particular passage, as I said, there's a setup for the coming bowl judgments, and it runs this environmental setup for the bowl judgments all the way through the last verse of chapter 14, that is Revelation 14, 20. And when you get down to 16, next week we'll cover in summary form chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And we'll get to chapter 16, and we'll find something very interesting that happens there. I just want to tease it a little bit. It says, the sixth angel, verse 12 in Revelation 16, poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. So this is the preparatory for the battle at Armageddon in Megiddo, or the in Jezreel, the valley of Jezreel. Verse 13, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet 3 unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God, the Almighty. So all of the rulers that are left on earth, all of the kings and the kingdoms will come into this area. It's about a 200-mile area to battle against Jesus. And the battle will not happen until the 19th chapter of Revelation. And the spoiler alert is that Jesus does win this battle. But it says right in the middle of all this, which is kind of fascinating to me, in verse 15, Revelation 16, behold, this is the third beatitude of the 7 beatitudes in the book of Revelation. I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. It's a call to genuine faith. It's a call to so he's really actually writing to the recipients of this book. So it's being written, the book of Revelation, in 95 AD, and he's talking about the future, but he wants the recipients to constantly be up and looking up and staying in a state of happiness and blessedness. And so when he talks about staying alert so that you're not found naked, that is, be found having genuine faith. And one of the places where I ended with you last week was Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day. And that's where I've lived for much of the 46 or 7 years I've been a Christian, meditating day. And I think for us to be ready for that day that will come unawares, for us to get ready for that day when he actually brings this human history to its consummation, we need to develop a habit. Some of you may already have it, and I'll just be jealous of you, and you can look down your nose slightly at me. Please do it in private. Some of you may already have added the habit of night, but it's a really hard habit for me to start, to meditate in God's word day and night. But to keep your mind ready and your spirit ready for what's to come, I think it requires that. That's what I'm at least trying to do, and I hope that you're trying to do it. It's a amazing thing. This is going to happen. We don't know exactly when it will occur, but these things are going to unfold. Now I'm going to go back to the text just briefly. In chapter 12 again, I want to look at something in the third verse and highlight it. So he saw the sign of this woman in heaven clothed with the sun. But in verse 3 it says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. So this is a large dragon. We know that it is Satan from what we find spoken of in verse 9 in chapter 7, and also what we see in Revelation 20, verse 2. And we know that the color is flaming red, which indicates that there's going to be damage done. There's going to be wounds inflicted. It's a punishing color. And with 7 heads, it says, and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. And this is referring to the prophecy in Daniel, and it's talking about 7 consecutive world empires. And with the diadems, it's indicating that they're all in a process of running their course, even while the Apostle John is writing the book of Revelation. It understands that the 10 horns belong to the last of the 7 empires. So there's going to be 10 horns belonging to the last empire. And it's indicating the preeminence of the 10 kingdoms during the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. We know that, I said there's empires that are actually running their course already, so we know that what's in view is Babylon and Assyria and Greece and Persia and Rome. But we're waiting to see where the beast comes from, and we don't know that part yet, and we'll get into great detail about that in 2 weeks from today when we get to chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, where there's pretty unrefutable proof of where all of this lines up. So we look forward to that. So I want to just say to you, do not find yourself unready. It's so hard to stay ready for something that doesn't have a definite deadline given to us. We always say, he's coming back soon, but your grandmother said that, and your dad said that, and your grandmother and your grandfather said that. So it's hard to stay like Mike Singletary all the time with your eyes bucked. But the way to stay ready, I believe, is to just stay in his word all the time, referring to it. Living in it, basking in it, being prayerful. And like Sylvia said, in Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. That's all present tense continuous there. Always ask, always seek, always knock. So for every any problem you have, always ask, always seek. He's not going to be annoyed. It's not vain repetition. If your heart's sincere, always knock. So he wants to hear from you. He's not mad that he keeps hearing from you. On the same topic, he wants you to be pressing in and be prayerful. So pray without ceasing, as the scripture says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So keep your daubers up. We're going to try to summarize 13, 14, 15, and 16 next week, and then we'll catapult into 17 the following week. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how you nurture us. And we thank you that you've got a plan, but that you're careful to keep us afloat, keep us buoyant by announcing, pronouncing states of blessedness and describing how we can achieve those. We thank you for, even while you're meting out judgment, encouraging our hearts. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.